What follows is a complete audio worship service, and it was recorded shortly after George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis. I'm going to leave this worship service as it was recorded, but acknowledge that we in the church and we who have public speaking as part of the call of our careers and our ministry, we have an obligation not only to call out injustice as we see it, horrific as it may be, but also to lift up the just. And this worship service probably doesn't treat the just as fairly as it should. And so we're going to take some time before worship begins to pray for our police forces around the world, for individuals and their families who sacrifice so much to serve the public. And we acknowledge that good people are often slandered when these sorts of things happen. You know, it's possible for all police everywhere to be painted with one brush, and we know that that's not true. And so we lift our voices now in prayer for our police. Gracious God, protect and guard your children who serve us. Protect their hearts from the things that they hear that can be taken so personally and can be taken as an attack upon their career and their service. We ask that you would bless them, especially for the sacrifices they make, the sacrifices of their physical well-being and their financial well-being and time with their families. We ask that you give to our police a spirit of unity and a spirit of altruistic service for the common good. May they be lifted up as your just and righteous people who bring order to a chaotic world. Bless them and hold them in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Welcome to worship. May you be blessed. Amen.
Be Not Afraid, a hymn by Bob Dutherford.
If you stand before
Let us pray. Faithful God, in the midst of bad news, your word is like a balm for our wounds and a stream for our thirsty souls. Carry us in your faithful mercy, that we might live to witness to your redeeming life all around us. Amen.
Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commandment. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The word of the Lord.
A setting of Psalm 116 by David Haas.
Thank you.
A reading from 1 Kings, beginning at chapter 16, verse 34. It was under Ahab's rule that Hiel of Bethel refortified Jericho, but at a terrible cost. He ritually sacrificed his firstborn son, Abiram, at the laying of the foundation, and his youngest son, Segub, at the setting up of the gates. This is exactly what Joshua, son of Nun, said would happen. And then this happened. Elijah the Tishbite from among the settlers of Gilead confronted Ahab. As surely as God lives, the God of Israel, before whom I stand in obedient service, the next years are going to see a total drought, not a drop of dew or rain unless I say otherwise. God then told Elijah, get out of here and fast. Head east and hide out at the Kereth Ravine on the other side of the Jordan River. You can drink fresh water from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you. Elijah obeyed God's orders. He went and camped in the Kereth Canyon on the other side of the Jordan, and sure enough, ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. The word of the Lord. God sent Elijah to bring bad news. No rain means no swimming, no bathing, no drinking water, no crops, no life. No rain is bad news for King Ahab, but it is also bad news for everyone in Ahab's kingdom, including Elijah himself. Sometimes things happen that are bad news for everyone, and droughts are like that. Power outages are like that. Natural disasters are like that. Wars are like that. Coronavirus is like that. Abuse by the police force is like that. Sometimes life is like that. In the middle of that bad news for everyone, God tells Elijah, go, camp out by this obscure little brook. You'll have plenty of water there, and I'll cause the ravens to bring you food. In effect, God is saying, travel really far to this remote, unheard-of place where you can camp out in the wilderness by yourself, by a constant stream in the middle of nowhere during a horrendous drought. There, the most well-known of nature's scavengers will feed you. Trust me. That's not exactly good news in the midst of bad news. But that's how good news always occurs to us in the midst of bad news. It never sounds as good as we want it to. See, we want good news to be another announcement, a different kind of announcement, like, just kidding, there won't really be a drought. There wasn't really a flood. The reports of the war have been exaggerated. Coronavirus isn't as bad as we thought. The police didn't really do that. But Elijah's story tells us that good news doesn't sound like that, because God doesn't walk back the bad news. Instead, God makes promises that help us find our way through. God offers good news that sounds ridiculous and calls us to develop our trust and faith. In Elijah's case, God tells him to trust a dry valley as his water source and scavenging birds as his food source. He asks Elijah to have faith. And Elijah doesn't waver, doesn't question, doesn't argue. Elijah travels to Wadi Cherith because he knows God. And anything God says to him, no matter how outlandish, is trustworthy, because ultimately Elijah knows that God is trustworthy. And because Elijah knows God as trustworthy, God is able to say anything to Elijah, even things absurd, outlandish, and freakish. God can promise Elijah that birds will bring him food, and Elijah responds by traveling to the place where God can make that happen. And because Elijah trusted God, and went to the places where God could make miracles happen, he was sustained by miracles. Life is like that too. And not just sometimes, but all the time. Faith and trust in God give us navigating tools, a way to see the world, strength for difficult times, courage in challenging times, and meaning that transforms the way we experience our circumstances. When people around us suffer, we feel a call to stand with them, summoning courage and strength from some unknown source that promises goodness will come when we do what is right. In our isolation, we sense a call to prayer and to gratitude for others hard at work, with a bold confidence that prayer and devotion actually do change the world. When disaster strikes, some innate strength sends us out to care for those most in need. Without any regard for ourselves, we demonstrate the wholeness and compassion of humanity that Jesus teaches us is true. Is there bad news all around? Well, the good news is there too. In the presence and faithfulness of our promise-keeping, grace-bearing God. Elijah shows us that faith is not assurance in a known reality, but trust in a ridiculous proposal. Faith is not assent to a set of facts, but belief in an alternate universe. Faith is not a roadmap to a particular destination, but a compass that points us to a new home. Faith is not belief in a proposed idea, but confidence in a promise-keeping God. Faith is the muscle that makes grace visible in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thirsting for you, Lord, thirsting for you.
Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. Faithful One, you bring us together and call us your own. Bless theologians, teachers, and preachers who help us grow in faith. Guide your church that we might be a holy people. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Faithful One, the whole earth is yours. Where there is fire, bring cool air and new growth. Where there is flooding, bring abatement. Where there is drought, bring rain. Inspire us to care for what you have provided. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Faithful One, we have created divisions you will not own. In places of conflict, especially in the United States, raise up leaders who will work to develop justice, equity, reconciliation, and lasting peace. Encourage organizations and individuals to care for their communities, to stand for justice, and to love each person in their community. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Faithful One, you care for those who are harassed and helpless. Protect and defend those who are abused. Heal those who are sick. Feed all who hunger. Empower all whose voices go unheard. And help us respond to the pressing needs of our neighbors. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Faithful One, you never leave the side of those who struggle. In your healing compassion, guard all who are sick and vulnerable, especially Joe Latondra, Debbie Chabot, Norman Manula, Carter Sandheim, Crichton Filimona, Jeanette Hample, Gil Svensson, Larry Hoogie, and Steve Julin. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Faithful One, we celebrate today with Matthew Miller, who has been cancer-free for 5 years. Thank you for your restorative goodness and for community that supports us all. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Faithful One, you provide a plentiful harvest of gifts and resources. Prepare us to labor and gather the fruit of this congregation, that we might discover new ways of living. Minister to us in our work, that we do not lose heart. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For what else do the people of God pray? Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Faithful One, you bring all people to yourself. We give thanks for the holy people who have gone before us, especially Mike Kerr, Dennis Morey, Will Sanders, Maurice Manning, Shannon Hebert, Ed Cooper, Clark Hansen, Phyllis Oakenfold, Lauren Boisson, Ron Kletke, Shirley Pepler, Walter Dreger, and Albert and Velma Holk. Sustain us in your mission until the day you bear us up to be united with all the saints in light. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We are reminded of God's faithfulness in the words of Isaiah from Isaiah 49, verse 15. And these words have been set by Carrie Landry.
Receive a blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen. Just as the ravens brought bread and meat from heaven, and the brook quenched Elijah's thirst, send us out into your hungry and thirsty world to bring your good gifts to all your people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Peace be with you and your family. It is good to be together in this way. The only announcement that we have for June 14th is just a reminder that in-person worship is going to remain suspended through July 19th, and then we will reevaluate opening worship again as that date approaches, and we'll let you know how we're going to proceed. In the meantime, we encourage you to stay safe, to stay home as much as possible, to continue to socially isolate, and to watch for announcements from Alberta Health about the impact of opening and coronavirus, whether it spikes or whether it flattens. But just above all, stay safe. God be with you.